before him and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, waiting can be tough. I mean, now as Christmas Day is behind us, all the presents are unwrapped and the turkey is eaten, it is okay. But I remember being a boy and how hard it was to wait for Christmas. You just cannot wait for it to come. Eagerly you count down the days, and with every day that passes, your excitement grows more to finally unpack those presents. And then the big day comes. I have to say, I miss that part of my childhood, because one day I was grown up and all the magic was gone. But there might be still hope for me. For today's gospel teaches us that the Christian life is actually a lot like waiting for Christmas. And there are two similarities I especially want to point out today. First, as Christians we are still waiting. Not waiting for Christmas, that's obvious, but waiting for our salvation, the second coming of Christ. And then second, while we're still waiting, the presents are already under the tree. Let's start with the first. We are still waiting for salvation. And the thing is, believing in God has actually a lot to do with waiting. And we actually learned that from the two side characters in our gospel reading today. Let's listen to the text. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And there was a prophetess, Anna, and she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Simeon and Anna, what great examples of faith! They're true believers filled with the Holy Spirit. They have their doctrine down, and they regularly attend worship in the temple. But yet, they still have to wait. And waiting can take a long time. At this point, the people of Israel are waiting for more than 1,000 years. Back then, God had established the kingdom of Israel, and Israel was blessed with justice, glory, and peace. But from that moment on, it pretty much just went downhill. What was supposed to be God's chosen people, God's glorious kingdom on earth, turned out to be quite a mess. And it seemed like all those glorious promises of old, promises made by God, were actually failing. At the time of Simeon and Anna, there is no peace, no economical security, no justice in Israel. Foreigners, the hated Romans, took over the country and their own king, King Herod, he's just a joke. With him, you never know with what family member he will kill next. And sadly, the people of Israel themselves are not any better. They actually kind of brought this whole misery on themselves. Again and again, they turned away from the true God and worshiped their self-made idols. And it didn't matter how many times God pardoned their sins, they just did the same mistake again and again. Long story short, things in Israel are not all right. Things need to be fixed. More than ever, Israel is waiting for salvation. You know, and Simeon and Anna, they clearly see that. But what's interesting to me is they don't plot with the zealots to bring like a violent political change and kick the Romans out of the country. They also don't hang out with the Pharisees and try to obey their special laws to kind of increase the spiritual well-being of the nation. Instead, they just go in the temple, they pray, and they wait. For they know that the only one who can really help them in their mess is the God of Israel. And so they pray to promise their nation to actually help them. Because here's the thing about the God of the Bible. He doesn't leave people alone in their mess, even if they brought it upon themselves. And God had promised his people that his Savior, the Messiah, would come and that he would save them once for all and even free them from their own sinful hearts. And however badly Israel would mess up, and they really did this in their history, the promise always remained valid. And so, Anna and Simeon, with all the faithful throughout Israel's history, waited for the Messiah, the son of the Virgin, who also would be the Son of God, the Savior, who would restore the glory of Israel, and also be a blessing for the hostile Gentiles, even the Romans. They waited for the day of salvation, when God finally would wipe the tears from their eyes, when all evil would end, when death would be swallowed up forever, and the little lamb actually could rest right next to the lion. They waited for peace and justice to rule in Israel, and God finally being with his people forever. And so they waited, day after day, year after year, century after century. They waited until this one particular day when Simeon and Anna were in the temple and suddenly a young family with a newborn entered the temple court. I have to say, I'm so amazed by this particular story because it's so mundane, it's even kind of profane, you know, two normal people who have waited all their life. And it seems like every other day in the temple. And it looks like every other firstborn that is brought in there according to Jewish customs. But yet, it's God making history. It's God finally bringing his promised salvation and changing the course of the world. And you, in my weakness, I sometimes wish God will show up in my life with like special effects from the new Exodus movie, you know, like boom, there he is, like in his glory and huge waves and stuff. But the thing is, God mostly does not deal with movie stars, but he just deals with everyday folks in their normal lives. And therefore the stories in the Bible and especially our gospel today, they're really about us. They're about normal people like Anna and Simeon, and we learn about their lives, their afflictions, and their hopes. Because between then and now, it didn't change so much. You know, they were waiting for Christ's first coming, and we're still waiting for Christ's second coming. And And today, like back then, waiting is not that easy. Take, for example, Simeon, the church elder. You know, he's a really good guy. You always can count on him. He helps out with the youth. Whenever there's someone who needs a ride, he'll pick them up. And, you know, his whole attitude and his faith are really an inspiration for others. But then, Simeon is also very concerned. Because, you know, he clearly sees how, like, society changes and it becomes more and more hostile to the church. You know, and he totally knows that since his kids moved away to college, they didn't really attend church anymore. And he also sees all those things that go wrong in the congregation and in the district, and it's just frustrating. So Simeon is waiting, you know, to finally see some results of the gospel in his everyday life, and especially in the life of his children. He's just waiting for God to finally change something, like, you know, get things going. He's waiting for God's salvation. Or take Anna. You know, she's a real sweetheart. Like, she's one of those people you need in your congregation. Like, she's there for every potluck, and she makes this great apple pie. It's just delicious. You know, but also in prayer group, people are kind of amazed, like, how simple but yet very deep and profound her prayers are. But even someone like Anna, she's lonely. You know, most of her friends already passed away, and especially at night when the house, like, it's really quiet, she misses her beloved husband, who just died some years ago of cancer. So Anna is waiting for God to take this pain away. She's waiting to finally be with her beloved ones again. She's simply waiting for salvation. You know, and I think we all are waiting. And the people like Jill Osteen, who kind of tried to convince us, you know, just think positive and things will work out fine. You know, if it just would be that easy. But I think even as Christians who were saved in Christ, in our lives we still notice that things are not right, that things need to be fixed. And to be honest, you didn't need a German seminarian to fly in and tell you that, because you already know that, right? You're like experienced Christians who fight the good fight of faith every day. And you know that we're not yet in heaven. And so, like Simeon and Anna in the gospel, we still have to wait for God's final salvation, the day when finally all pain is over and only the joy of being with Christ remains. You know, and that is actually a very comforting thought, that we will be with Christ, and this kind of carries us through our everyday life, but still waiting for that, it can be tough. But in the midst of all that mess, of all that waiting and all those challenges of our life, our gospel reminds us that for us Christians, waiting is also a joyful thing. Because we are God's children. And like children, we're waiting for the big day to come. We're waiting to unwrap our presents. And there's a part in us that just cannot wait for God's salvation to come. And with every day we wait more, we just get more assured and we get more joyful that finally we will be with Christ and the joy will be overflowing. Take Israel as an example. They waited for 1,000 years. No, 1,000 years. It must have felt like the Messiah will never come. It's just all a lie. It's just all made up. And then on this one particular day, Simeon and Anna finally hold him in their hands. They break out in songs of joy and praise for the miracles of God's work in our everyday life. You know, we don't wait in vain. God keeps his promises. And this little baby in their arms, that is also the guarantee for us that that is true. You know, this little baby grew up and became the Son of Man who died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. There on the cross, our salvation actually already happened. You know, the hardest part is done. And that means that Jesus will return for sure and finish the job. So while we wait in our lives, we don't wait in despair as Christians. That we wait comforted in faith. And I think that makes quite a difference. And this actually nicely blends over to the second theme of the sermon, and that is, we already see our salvation. So I wanted to point that out in the children's sermon, but I think I kind of forgot. Do you know what's the biggest difference between Americans and Germans? It's actually a big deal, because we get our presents already on the 24th at night, while you guys get them on the 25th. So it was really hard for me to wait half a day longer, but I kind of made it. It was hard, but I did it. But interestingly enough, just recently with our American friends in Germany at the seminary, I learned that there's another difference, and that is, we don't put up the Christmas tree before the 23rd, and then that's also the time when we put the presents under the tree. But I was really surprised to see at our friend's place that they already had the tree up like at the beginning of December, and they were already the presents. And when I saw that, I was like, whoa, that's rough, like those poor kids, you know. They see the presents the whole time and they can't touch them. I don't know how you guys do that. But then thinking about it, and especially with the preparation of the sermon, I was like, you know, it's all too kind of comforting to see that the presents are already there, waiting for you. And that's just true for us Christians as well. While we wait for our Lord to return, we already see our salvation. And that is a really interesting point in the text that I want to show you. Let me read some parts here. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when the parents brought the child Jesus, he took him upon his arm, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. It's really interesting, but it seems like God knows how we human beings work. We are not just intellectual minds, but we're like physical beings who need to sense, to taste, and especially to see, you know? Like, what a big handicap is it if you can't see, if you're blind? And it is also way safer for you as a child to actually see that mom already bought you that huge present that you always wanted than just to hear that she might have done so. You know, it's kind of good that you can see it. And God knows that. And this is actually why he told Simeon that he would see the Christ, the Messiah. And in the moment when Simeon holds this little baby, he actually knows, yeah, that's the moment. The promise of God is fulfilled. He recognizes that this little baby is the Messiah, God incarnate. And looking at the face of that baby, all things he was ever waiting for, forgiveness of sins, victory over death, eternal peace, they all become reality inside of that baby. Now Simeon doesn't have to wait anxiously anymore for death, but he can leave comforted, for he knows that God's salvation is real, because he just saw it. How comforting is it to know that we can see God's salvation? But yet, there's one thing we have to consider, and this is like an interesting twist. All he sees is a little baby. You know, it's kind of surprising because that baby doesn't look very different from all the other babies that are on that day in the temple to be presented to the Lord according to the Jewish laws. And this is actually why we Lutherans speak about the theology of the cross. For as long as we're here on earth, we can see God how he really is. You know, we don't see him like in the glory, in his glory in our lives. But mostly we only see him hidden. You know, hidden under the opposite, like in a way we would never expect it. So like hidden as a powerless baby, hidden under the shameful death on the cross. And, you know, some Christians, they're very convinced that the awesomeness of God is like very visible in the congregation, and if you just go there once, you see how awesome Christianity is, and everyone just starts believing. But we as Lutherans, you know, we only can point to the little baby in Simeon's arm and the man dying on the cross. And that is really interesting that in our text, even in the midst of all this Christmas joy, there's also the first passion statement in the Gospel of Luke. Let me read it to you. And Simeon said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." You know, Simon already foresees here that Jesus won't be recognized, that not everyone will like break out in like these joys of salvation, but instead they will just cry, "Crucify him." And his own poor mother has to see him die on the cross like a common criminal. And that's not what you would expect God's salvation to look like, right? It looks more like a failure. But then again, you also wouldn't expect God's mighty Savior to be a little baby. And here we learn, and it's also kind of comforting, that not only for us, but even for the saints in the Old and the New Testament, it's kind of hard to actually recognize God in your everyday life. You know, one could say that we're kind of short-sighted in that regard. We just miss it. But luckily, we have the Holy Spirit, who again and again actually shows us like how near and how real God's salvation is in our lives. You know, just take, for example, church. To me, a lot of times, it doesn't seem to be that much different from everyday life. You know, just this morning, like, you get up as usual, you rush to get the kids in the car, and you hope to make it in time to church, and luckily I did, though it was a little tight. And then you just meet the same people, and you sing the same hymns, and it's kind of business as usual. And I would say, like, Simeon's own words, the Nunc Dimittis that we actually usually sing after the Lord's Supper, and we will definitely sing it today, they also like seem to fit pretty well in this category of like business as usual. You know, I cannot tell you like how many times I sung that song growing up. And to be honest, I did not particularly like it. You know, the words are kind of strange, especially in German, because we have like a really old translation, and there's something about radiance and nations and Gentiles, and I didn't really make sense of it. But you know, God hides on the opposite. The divine liturgy sometimes seems to be very like unremarkable, and even the Lord's Supper is not always like super mind-blowing, at least to me. Kind of business as usual. But then I had this one moment where it just hit me, like a few years ago. My eyes have seen thy salvation. I was like, whoa. In the moment just earlier, when I received communion, I just saw Jesus. Singing the same hymn as Simeon, I saw what he saw. No, and like Simeon received baby Jesus in his arm, I received him in bread and wine in my body. When we eat Christ's body and blood, Jesus is actually there. And like with Simeon in our text, there on this table, salvation happens here and now. And I have to say, ever since then, since I had this one like mind-opening thought, the Nunc Dimittis is actually one of the favorite parts of my liturgy, because it just showed me like to see Jesus in the midst of my normal life. Brothers and sisters, yes, we're waiting. But the presents are already under the tree, you know? Salvation is already here, and in the midst of our everyday chaos, we actually can see it. We see it in every page on a Bible. We see it in the pastor speaking the word of absolution. And when we soon come forward to receive Christ's body and blood, we actually see it in a little waver and a little sip of wine. Through these means, God comes already to us now while we're still waiting. He doesn't leave us alone. Yeah, rather, he puts siblings on our side. Christians like Simeon and Anna will actually wait with us and help us to share the wait. God is not only hidden under the cross and under bread and wine, but he's also hidden under his people. So, and this is a thought that I stole from my father-in-law, God is kind of like, we as Christians are actually Christmas presents to each other 24/7 and 365 days a year. You know, we help each other, we comfort each other, we are Christian family for each other, and we share in the waiting. We don't wait alone. That's a really comforting thought. And the best thought is that God himself waits with us. And he does whatever is necessary to carry us through all this waiting. So indeed, the Christian life is a lot like waiting for Christmas. It is even better, actually, for every Christmas here on this earth, it's just a glimpse of the future feast to come. So we really have something to look forward to. And we continue to wait for it. And after the service ends, we will go back home and we will celebrate New Year soon. And then there will be another year, like, with a lot of joyful moments, good things to happen, but also with suffering, with struggle, and with a lot of waiting. But as we go home now, we can wait in peace, for we just have seen God's salvation. Amen. Amen.
We stand to confess our faith.